Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. We're a church family in North Carolina with a vision for people to experience the grace of Jesus, be filled with the Father's love, and to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's message from Mooresville.
And so Byron reached out to me less than 2 weeks ago, and he asked me what I thought about sharing today. And honestly, my response I wanted to give back to him was that I needed at least a month to panic first. But I didn't, thank God. I just surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and I said yes. And so we're just grateful to keep this conversation going about the prophetic here. You know, I know River Life, you guys in our DNA, I think from the time River Life probably was birthed, that the prophetic has been something that's so important to this place. And Jamie and I, thankfully, we've just stepped into this time and season, and we've been able to partner with what the Lord is already doing. And we're excited just to keep going from glory to glory and just to continue to learn how to hear the voice of God and to stir up the gifts of the Spirit here in this place. And so we've had the opportunity to teach two prophetic boot camps and one dream boot camp. And we've just been blessed to get to know so many of you through that. We hope to continue kind of teaching those periodically. So if you haven't been able to attend, hopefully you can join in at some point when we teach one in the future. But a little bit just about me, as Melissa said, we're from Rochester, New York. We moved here in 2019. And for me, I was saved when I was 13 years old. I accepted Jesus into my heart. And as a teenager, I really started having like significant encounters with the Lord, dreams. And I was going to a Spirit-filled church, but honestly, there was no teaching that I can remember. You know, I would witness the things of the Spirit where I would see people prophesying. I got prophetic words, but nobody ever taught me that that was something that I could do too. And so it wasn't until years later in my mid-20s that I ended up going away to college out of state, and I moved to Washington, D.C. area for a little while. I finally migrated my way back to Rochester in my mid-20s. And thankfully, as I went back to my church there, I was connected with the house prophet there. His name is Hector Santos. And he just really taught me in the things of the Spirit. He took me under his wing. He really fathered me. And he even called me into the prophetic ministry there, where I was part of the leadership team for over 10 years. And so I'm just so grateful that we have fathers and mothers. And here in this house, there's so many wonderful fathers and mothers here to help us to learn and to grow into these things, because it's so important. And so how many of you guys know that the voice of the Lord is powerful? His voice, it's powerful. If you want to read a chapter in the Bible about the voice of the Lord, read Psalm 29. It's such a powerful description of the voice of the Lord. It talks about how his voice is over the waters. His voice thunders. His voice is powerful. It's majestic. You know, all we need is just one word from God, and it will literally shift everything. It will change our entire circumstance. It will bring the breakthrough that we need. And, you know, even the voice of the Lord is creative. If you think about it, this earth was created by the voice of the Lord. It says in Hebrews 11 that the world was framed by the word of God. And so his voice is powerful. He's speaking all the time. And you, as believers, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you all have the ability to hear his voice. And so as we start this morning, I just want to start talking about becoming the prophet of your own life. And when I say that, I'm not saying that we're all prophets. I'm actually going to share a little bit later the difference between the prophetic gifting and a prophet. But we all have the ability to hear the voice of God, and no one is disqualified. It says in Corinthians that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so if you've accepted Jesus in your life, you have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you, and you have the ability to hear his voice. And then even in John, Jesus said to us, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And so the Lord wants us to begin to listen to him. And really, our first assignment is to connect with the Father and to learn how he communicates. This is something that we all have to steward in our own lives. Jesus, if you look at him, he's always our prime example. We always want to measure ourselves against him and his life and how he did things. Well, it said that Jesus only said what he heard the Father saying, and he only did what he saw the Father doing. And so Jesus gave us that example that we're to listen to God and then to follow what he tells us to do and whatever his plan is for our lives. So in Romans 8:14, it's one of the verses we have. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." And so if we are led by his Spirit, we are considered a son, we're a daughter of God, and we want to be led by his voice, because the end result of hearing the voice of God is that we will follow him and his plan for our life. And you know, really, we can't even begin to flow in the gifts of the Spirit until we start to understand how he speaks to us, and that we can get the way that he's communicating. So in our boot camps, we teach about the different ways that God will talk to us. And there's so many different ways. I mean, he can speak to us through that internal voice. He can give us God thoughts. He can speak to us through what we see, through dreams and visions. He can speak to us through how we sense things in our bodies and through creation and how things are even playing out in front of us. And so he's speaking all the time. And the more that we begin to pay attention to this, the more you're going to develop your own language with the Holy Spirit. And it's so important because, you know, God is not a cookie cutter God. He doesn't speak the same way to me as he's going to speak to Jamie. And so we have to all learn our own language with the Holy Spirit and how he is communicating with us. And so hearing from God is your responsibility. You know, you have the relationship with Jesus, and you're responsible to hear from him. And, you know, if you're feeling like, I'm not sure if I'm hearing from him or not, you know, many times we have not because we ask not. That's the verse in James. And so if you want to begin to hear the voice of God more in your life, it might just be as simple as beginning to ask him to speak to you, but not only ask him to speak, then actually making room that you'll, you know, pay attention and recognize when he is talking to you. One of the first things that I did as I started learning this is I had an activation that was presented to me to take a journal and just write down a question to the Lord. It could be something really simple. It could be something really deep and profound. But take a week and write a question to the Lord and then watch as he speaks to you throughout the week and begin to journal that, journal his voice. And it will really bring confidence because you'll begin to see like, wow, you know, God spoke to me through my dream last night about what I asked him. Or then he spoke maybe through the sermon on Sunday. And maybe he's going to speak through a conversation you have with a friend. And so as you write that down and as you keep a log of that, it really will build some confidence and help you to start recognizing how he is speaking. Sometimes it's just that we have to make room. You know, I think we think of like a conversation with God sometimes, like I'm going to ask a question and now he's going to respond in this very second to me. And, you know, sometimes he does that, but sometimes we ask him the question and then we have to pay attention as we go forward with how he is responding. So, you know, we are a prophetic community here, but my heart is that the prophetic is never meant to replace the voice of God in your own life or your ability to hear from God. I always think of it as kind of like a vitamin. You know, when you take a vitamin, it's a supplement, and it's not something that you're going to take and that's going to replace everything you're eating all day long and your daily nutrition. You take that vitamin for a supplement, or maybe because you're deficient in a particular area. And that's really how I see the prophetic ministry, is that it's a supplement to how you're already hearing the voice of God in your own life. And so maybe you come and you receive a word and the Lord is going to confirm to you what he's already speaking to you, or maybe he's going to boost you up in an area that you've been deficient in, but it's never to replace you hearing from him yourself. A couple barriers to hearing the voice of God. I'm not going to go into depths with these, but just to throw some things out if you're struggling in this area, is it could be that there's sin in your life that you need to deal with and that the Lord's been speaking to you about and, you know, you're not listening. It could be that there's fear or unbelief. You know, we're here, our walk with the Lord, it's a faith walk. And so if we have any roots of unbelief, that could hinder our ability to hear his voice. Could be if there's any kind of entanglement with the occult activity or any kind of involvement with getting involved with the occult, that could really hinder your voice of God in your life because it's a counterfeit voice. It's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. unforgiveness could hinder you from hearing the voice of God. And so we always want to make sure that if there's any bitterness or unforgiveness in our heart, that we deal with that, you know, with the Lord. And then the last one, I'm sure there's others too, but these are just a few I'm mentioning. Familiarity, that can really hinder us from hearing the voice of God. And familiarity, if you think about it, you know, we get so familiar with one another. You get familiar with your spouse, with your children, with your best friend, that we can sometimes miss that they're carrying an anointing that they might, the Lord might have something to speak through that person. And I think of the example of Jesus, you know, in Luke 4, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went into the wilderness, and when he came out of the wilderness, he went into the temple, it says, in Nazareth, and he began to read in the book of Isaiah. And when he first started reading, the people there were like, it says they bore witness to what he was saying, and they marveled at what Jesus was saying. But then the very next thing they said is, wait a minute, this is the son of Joseph. Like, they were familiar with him. And so they missed their hour of visitation because of that familiarity. And so I just want to encourage you, just keep it before you that we don't get too familiar. Even, you know, like we talked about communion this morning, we don't want to get too familiar and miss our hour of visitation with the Lord as we go forward with things. So those are some things you can take just to take inventory of your own heart. So that's a little bit about hearing the voice of God for yourselves. But we are a prophetic community. Whether you're part of our prophetic ministry or not, we're all a prophetic community, and we're growing in this together. And the prophetic, really, what it means in its most simple and basic term is hearing the voice of God, but then sharing it with another person. So it's not just hearing for yourself, but it's actually then taking it a step further and sharing with another person. And as we're growing in this, there really is prophetic protocol. There are parameters that we want to stay within when we're operating in the prophetic ministry. And protocol means procedure. And so how many of you, if you went to your doctor this week and they told you you needed to have surgery, how many of you would want the surgeon to know their protocol or their procedure when they're going to operate on you? I think we all would. And how many, you know, we own a real estate company. How many of you, if you were to list your house for sale or you were going to go buy a house, you would want to work with an agent that knows their protocol. They know the procedure. They know how to get the job done. And so that's why protocol is so important for us. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, Paul, he was addressing the church in Corinth. And they were moving in the gifts of the Spirit, but there were some things happening that were out of order. And you can read the whole chapter on your own. But Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. And so the anointing and the things of the Spirit, they have a God-given protocol. And there's three ways we can do things. We can do things the way that seems good to us. We can do things the wrong way, or we can choose to do things God's way and follow his protocol. Because when the gifts start moving, it's always meant to bring life to the church. And so many people, you know, we can all grow in the prophetic. We can all develop this gift, but we don't want to just grow in this gifting. We also want to be people who are trustworthy. We want to be, you know, moving in a safe and a correct manner, because again, the anointing will always bring life. And so that's why we need prophetic instruction. We need teaching on these things. If you decided today to buy a gun, you would need to go get a license. You would need to go through training. You would need safety measures in place. My goodness, you'd want to learn the safety to do that. Because if you don't, you could cause a lot of damage when you use that gun if you don't learn the right safety measures. Well, the prophetic is a powerful weapon in the church. And if we're not careful, we can cause damage. And so maybe even there's people here today that you've received a prophetic word over the years, and it maybe brought some damage to you. Well, I just pray and I hope that you can just shake that off and you can just trust and know that that was not the heart of the Lord. You know, if you did receive something, the person just maybe they missed it. They were operating outside of their parameters. And we pray that you can just move forward even despite that. So as we're talking about boundaries, some people don't like boundaries. They think of boundaries as constricting or like we're putting God in a box. But boundaries actually bring freedom. you know, if you know your boundaries, you can move about freely. You can enjoy like where the Lord is calling you to do. And so it's so important that we know our boundaries and really that God is a God of order. You know, just read creation if you don't know that. He really is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion, but peace and order. And he wants things to be done that would bring edification and to build up his bride. And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians 14:1-3. And this is a verse I'm sure many of you even haven't memorized. You've probably heard it over and over again, especially at a church, you know, here at River Life. We talk about it a lot. At the boot camp, we talk about it. But we always want to put these verses in front of us when we're talking about the prophetic so that we can remember what our parameters are. And so what it says is, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. And so that's the part that we want to highlight, is that our parameters, anytime that we're ministering in the gift of prophecy, is edification, exhortation, and comfort. And even in the boot camp, we have people draw on their papers. We're teaching this, a triangle. And we have the people write around the triangle the words edification, exhortation, and comfort. And we put an X in the middle of the triangle. And we want to always keep ourselves there in the middle of those three parameters. So when we're ministering in the gift of prophecy, we're always staying within the boundaries of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And even kind of taking it a step back when you're reading this scripture, those are our boundaries. But the other thing that Paul says, and there's no accident in scripture and how things are worded and the order that things are placed in. But the first thing Paul says is to pursue love. And so the first thing that we want to have in our ministry as we're prophesying is we want a foundation of love. You know, Jesus was motivated by love. It talks many times in the Gospels about how he was moved with compassion. It's the same thing as love. He was moved with love, and then he would heal, and then he would operate in the gifts. And so we don't ever want our gifting to be bigger than our heart. We want to be like Jesus, and Jesus was known for his heart. And, you know, it says, it doesn't say, but when they were talking about the disciples and they were describing them, it didn't say surely they had great gifts. That's not how they were identified. They were identified because they said surely they had been with Jesus. And so that's what we want our heart to be, that we're ones who have been with Jesus, that our foundation and our motivation is love, and that we stay within those parameters of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And, you know, if we stay with love being our foundation and our motivating factor, it says in the word, love never fails. You know, the gifts will fail, but love never fails. And so that's really what we want at the root of our ministry here. And as we're growing in this prophetic culture, people are going to make mistakes. And if we make honest mistakes, it's okay as long as it's followed by an honest apology. So there are times where we're going to miss it. We're trying, we're practicing as we're hearing the voice of God. And we might make mistakes along the way. But it doesn't make us a false prophet or, you know, the false prophetic. And so in every other role in the church, and I don't, when I say the church, I'm not necessarily meaning River Life, but at the church at large, in any other role, there's always room and there's grace for there to be mistakes made and for things to go wrong. So if you think about it, if we were to bring in like a healing evangelist and they prayed over 100 people that came in line and they prayed healing over those 100 people and one person got healed, how many of you know we would be rejoicing? We would be saying, look what the Lord has done. This is amazing. Like, God is healing. But if you were to bring in a prophetic person to come and minister over those 100 people, and let's say that they accurately and so on point prophesied over 99 of the people with a great word, but they missed it on the one person, everyone would be focused on that one and that they missed it and that now they're a false prophet. And we just have to get out of that, you know, standard and out of that thought process, because just because you miss it while you're growing, it doesn't make you false. It just makes you wrong, as long as your heart is, you know, coming from the source of the Lord and you're not trying to do anything maliciously. And so God, he really is looking for a heart that would grow with him and a heart of love, not of perfection. I'm sure many of you in here, if you're a father and your child is just starting to learn to walk and from crawling, and if they fall several times along the way, as a father, you're not thinking, oh my gosh, they're messing up and they're falling all the time. No, you're so proud of that child that they're getting up, they're trying, they're learning from their mistakes. And I feel like it's just the way our Heavenly Father looks at us as we're trying to grow in this and as we're trying to develop this gifting, even if we make mistakes that are honest mistakes along the way, he's so proud of us that we're taking the risk and that we're getting up and we're growing in this. And so one of the things I want to highlight, though, is the difference between a prophet and the gift of prophecy, because I think this brings a lot of confusion to people. And so not everyone who prophesies is a prophet. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are given to us by the Holy Spirit, but the fivefold ministry, that's a gift to the church from Jesus. And so we want to read Ephesians 4, 11, and 12, because this tells us about the office of a prophet. It says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ." And so a prophet is somebody who is not only called to speak prophetically, but they're also called to raise up people to hear the voice of God. And if someone's called as a prophet, they will have their own encounter with Jesus. They'll have a word of the Lord directly to themselves that God will speak to them about this calling. And then not only that, then their leaders will begin to identify and recognize that anointing on a person's life. And so I like to point out the difference because we can all learn to prophesy, but we're not all called to be a prophet. And it has to be understood because the Lord wants us to go after this, but not to get out of our parameter or our boundaries. So somebody who's called into the office of a prophet, they actually have extended parameters. So we talked about the gift of prophecy. We can speak edification, exhortation, and comfort. But somebody who's called as a prophet, they can go further out. They can speak words of direction into people's lives. Their triangle would be direction, and they could speak correction or warning, and they could also bring establishment of things, like establishing people into ministries or businesses or churches and those kind of things. So somebody who's called into the office has a much higher realm of how they're prophesying than someone who's operating in the gift of prophecy. And we just want to make sure, because for the gift, we want to stay in our firm parameters with the gifting. And so how do we develop all of this? Like, how do we cultivate hearing God's voice and grow in this? Obviously, I think training is important and stirring up the gifts and all of that is so important, is vital to growing in this area. But the thing the Lord has been speaking to me for years and really is highlighting again in this season is becoming a friend of God. Like, I feel like he just wants us to be a friend of his. When you're friends with somebody, you can influence them. I think of Abraham. You know, he influenced God when God was deciding the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. It says that Abraham was a friend of God, and he was able to influence how that turned out. And when you're friends with someone, you can represent them well, you know what they like, what they dislike, and you really can represent who they are. And not only that, if you think about it, when you're really close friends with someone, you actually start kind of acting like them and talking like them. I've noticed, you know, Jamie and I have been married for 7 years almost, and we both are starting to talk like each other. Like, he says things I'll say, or I say things that he'll say that's not normally what I would say. And so it's the same with the Lord. If we become friends with him, we'll start even acting like him. We'll start talking like him, just even out of our normal process of growing and spending time with him. And I was thinking about it like this, you know, if you have like a boss, if for those of you who are working, if your boss asks you to do something, you're going to probably respond. 99% of you will probably say yes, because out of duty, out of, you know it's your job to do that, you're going to say yes. But if your friend asks you to do something, you're going to have a different response. You're going to do it out of love and because you care for that friend. And not only that, I feel like you'll do it even better because you know what your friend likes. You know how they want it done. You know their personality. And so I feel like this is what the Lord is really calling us to, is just friendship with him. And out of it, will really grow into hearing his voice even deeper. And one more thing I want to say about that is, you know, the enemy isn't threatened by our accuracy, and he's not threatened by our gifting, but he's threatened by our fellowship with God. And that's where he tries to come after us, is in our fellowship with God. And so if we just make that our priority, the rest of the things will fall into place. And so out of intimacy that comes that time spent with the Lord, we'll really get to know his voice in a deeper way. I always think of this example. So several years ago, my mom and I, when we were in New York, went to a Bible study together, and it was a women's Bible study. And what we'd do is we'd go into a room. There's probably 30 to 40 women there, and we'd watch a video. And then we were at all different tables, and we'd break up into like small groups, and we'd talk about the video. Well, one night when I was at this Bible study, my mom and I would sit at different tables. And once the women started talking, and you know when there's a room full of women and they start talking, it gets pretty loud. And so everybody started talking. Well, suddenly my mom was at a different table, and she opened her mouth and started saying something. And instantly my ears perked up, and it's like I heard her voice from across the room. And not only did I hear her voice, like I could actually hear what she was saying because I was tuned in to her voice. And that's always stuck with me, that it's like that with the Holy Spirit. If we will spend time with him, you know, I knew my mom, obviously. I knew her voice. We spent a lot of time together. And so it's the same way with the Lord. If we spend that time with him, you can so get to know his voice that amidst other voices trying to come in and distract you and speak things to you, you can actually rise above and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and what he is trying to communicate with you. The other thing is, you know, with friendship with God, God likes to tell us secrets. It says in Psalm 25, and I put two actual versions, you can put them both up, but one says, in the ESV version, it says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." And then the other version, which I love, New King James, it says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant." And so as we become friends with the Lord and spend that time with him, like he will release secrets to us. And not because he's necessarily just wanting to give us a prophetic word or to give us our next message or whatever, but just because when you're with a friend, you share your heart and secrets come out and things, you know, come out about how you're feeling and what really is there that you wouldn't share with other people. And so I love that he will speak to us, even secrets, as we develop this friendship with him. The other thing is, as we become friends with him, we can represent him. You know, we can know his likes without having to go back and ask him. So, for example, if Jamie and I were to go, someone invited us, say, over the weekend to stay somewhere with them, and if I got up in the morning first and say Jamie was still sleeping, I could represent him. I could know if the host said, "Hey, I want to make breakfast," I could say, "Oh, well, I know Jamie likes his coffee black. He likes eggs. He doesn't really care for bacon. I know how he likes his toast." And so I know I knew that one would get everyone. But, you know, I wouldn't have had to go wake him up to ask him what he likes, because I just know that because I've spent time with him. I know him. I know what he likes and what he doesn't like. And we can really grow into that with our relationship with the Holy Spirit, where we will just know him. And there will be times where you don't even have to go and ask him his opinion on what you need to do or how to respond, because you can represent him. And so kind of wrapping things up, one thing the Lord has really put in my heart is that we can't operate under the same anointing that we've been in the last season and the season that we're going to. I really do feel like he has like a fresh baptism of fire for us, a fresh infilling of the Spirit. I think it's so important, you know, as we go throughout our Christian walk, we need to continually be filled. I mean, again, Jesus, who's our primary example, he surrendered himself to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was in full control of Jesus's life. And so if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how can we ever think that we could go on in this Christian walk without the Holy Spirit helping us and guiding us? And so, and I love the verse in Acts 10:38. It says, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil." And so I just feel like the Lord, he does want to anoint us with a fresh oil of anointing. Acts 4:31, too, just another verse to show this, that, you know, the disciples in Acts 2, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But then just a couple chapters later, it says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. And I love that because they were already filled with the Holy Spirit, and it just shows you how they needed another filling of his anointing. And then in Psalm 92:10, this is something I pray often. It says, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox, and I have been anointed with fresh oil. And so I feel like that's what the Lord has for us this morning, is just fresh oil for us to press into him. Recently, I had a dream, and in the dream, I don't know where I was. I was outside somewhere, and I was with River Life people I knew. I wrote that in my dream journal. And what happened is I would like start to run and I would catch the wind and then I would fly in my dream. I flew up in the sky. And when I flew up, I said, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And then I came back down and I did it again. I ran and I caught the wind and I flew up and I said that verse again, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And I did that multiple times in the dream. And then at the end of the dream, I saw Bob Jones's face and heard his, you know, thick accent that he has. And he said something like, one of the things he said to me was, see, I've called you to be like an eagle, to rise above. And so I just feel like this is a season, this is part of the anointing that the Lord has for us. I've been reading in the Isaiah 40, that verse where it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I feel like that's part of the anointing that the Lord wants to release. I think we've been in a season where it's been a real weariness for people. Like, we've been trying to persevere. We've been trying to just go forward with the Lord, but it's been hard because we've felt weak. And so I feel like that's something that he wants to release this morning, is just a fresh anointing for strength. And where it says he gives power to the weak. And so I feel like that's part of the power he wants to release. And then the last thing, last week after Byron had asked me to share, I was just spending time with the Lord. I wasn't even asking the Lord for a word. I was really just, I had worship music on and I was singing and I was singing in the spirit and I was actually singing a song. What I don't even know what it was. But as I was doing that, I suddenly had this song come in my spirit and I knew it was the Lord because I'm not smart enough to sing a song and then think of another song at the same time. And so as I was sitting there, this song came in my spirit, and I haven't heard the song in like 15 years. It's a song, I think it came out of the Brownsville Revival. Hopefully some of you will recognize it when I tell you what it is. But the song, and I'm not going to sing it for you because that would be a disaster. But the song was the words, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. You know that song? And then it goes on to say, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, Satan is under my feet. And I just feel like the Lord, I felt like such an indignation from the Lord, like the Lord, not at us as a people, but at the enemy. I felt like the Lord is saying, he's had enough. Like, it's time for things to be restored. I feel like there's been people who you've had things stolen, whether it's from your health, from your finances, your relationships, your marriage, your children, whatever it is. I just feel like he's bringing us into a season of real restoration where he wants to bring back those things that have been stolen from us.
Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. To get more information, check out riverlifefellowship.com.